This story is partly about a mountain and partly about a man. The mountain is Monte Bondone, which features on stage 17 of this year's Giro d'Italia, and the man is Charlie Gall of Luxembourg, who made his name on it. Gall was many things in life, irascible, unpredictable, a total recluse for many years, but his ability to climb mountains, especially when conditions were bad, put all that into the shade. Gall was the angel of the mountains. He flew. He was unrelenting, impervious and impossible to beat when at his best and in conditions that suited him best. He was so good that he got into his opponents' heads. He even gave Jacques Anquetil a recurring nightmare. Seriously. I'll tell you more about that and about Gall in a bit. But first, that mountain. Monte Bondone is in the Brenta Alps near Trento, and stage 20 of the 1956 Giro d'Italia finished on its summit. It was Gall's first time in the Giro. He'd been a pro for 3 years, had shown climbing potential, and was riding for a big Italian team, Faema Guerra. He was expected to do well, but on the morning of the Monte Bondone stage, with 3 days to go, and this his last day in the mountains, Gall was 24th overall, 16 minutes behind the race leader. It was not where he was expected to be by others, but he still expected to win. Why? Because the weather that day was freezing, with rain in the valleys turning to snow higher up. Gall loved it like that, and others hating it seemed to feed him. He drew energy from them. With 242 kilometres and several high passes, there was enough left for him to do it. This was his chance. He knew it, and he seized it. In my experience, that mindset, recognising true opportunity, forming a strategy, then committing everything to it, is one of the things that separate the best from the rest. Once the stage got going, Gall kept calm, stayed close to the front, and waited for Monte Bondone. When he got there, it was simple. He upped the pace and was quickly alone. It's not a long climb, 12 kilometres, but Gall took back all of his deficit and added enough time to win the Giro. He even stopped halfway up to drink hot coffee and change his freezing cycling kit. It was part of his strategy. It's difficult to describe how bad the conditions were that day, although you can see some footage on YouTube, but the numbers help tell the story. Gall took 9 hours to complete the 240-kilometre stage, and only 49 of the morning's 89 starters made it to the finish. The effort was immense. As soon as Gall crossed the line, he was lifted from his bike and carried to somewhere warm. He couldn't walk. It was almost superhuman. And an annual cyclosportive called La Leggenderia de Charlie Gall starts in Trento and finishes on Monte Bondone to remember the exploit. Charlie Gall set his own pace on mountain passes. He was oblivious to others. He used much lower gears than the rest back then, more often shifting into the 27 at the start of a long climb and leaving it there. And he slowly took rivals to their limit, never accelerating, just keeping it steady. They'd think they could hang on, but as the lactate built and the air thinned, they couldn't. That's how Gall broke them one by one, and when broken, they'd gone so deep there was no way back. His pace, his pedalling, the way it looked so effortless, the way he disregarded the weather and them got into his rivals' heads. This is how Raphael Gemignani described Gall's climbing. He was a murderous climber, always sustaining the same rhythm, a little machine with a lower gear than the rest of us, turning his legs at a speed that would break your heart. Gall particularly affected Jacques Anquetil. Anquetil won his first Tour of France in 1957 and was predicted to be the next great French champion. Unfortunately, he ran smack into Charlie Gall the following year. The little Luxembourger, with very little team support, took the might of France apart. The weather helped. It was bad when he needed it in the Alps. Anquetil abandoned with bronchitis, while the best French rider, Gemignani again, wasn't even in the French national team. Their best was Louis Zambobe, 7th overall and half an hour behind Gall. Anquetil joined his French teammates at the end of the race in Paris, and when the national team was presented to the 20,000 mostly French crowd in the Parc des Princes, they booed and whistled at them. That hurt the ice-cooled Anquetil. It hurt him so much that in better times, after he won his next tour in 1961, he bought a speedboat. The River Seine was at the bottom of his garden, and he called it Siffle de 1958, Whistles of 1958. It was a constant reminder to him of what it's like to lose. But Anquetil was beaten again by Gaul in 1959. It was the Giro d'Italia and another late race surprise. The Frenchman led by 4 minutes at the start of the penultimate stage, which went from Aosta to Courmayeur over the Col du Petit Saint-Bernard. That climb really suited Gaul. The average gradient is only 5%, but it's 30 kilometres long, gaining 1,400 metres in height and climbing to a summit of 2,200 metres. Gaul could click into his rhythm and go. And boy, did he go. He held close to 30 kilometres per hour for the entire climb. One by one, the opposition melted away, but Anquetil, who could suffer like no other, held on. He was the last to stay with Gaul, but 3 kilometres from the summit, even he cracked. And he cracked so badly that he lost 7 minutes by the top and 10 by the finishing Courmayeur. That was what Charlie Gaul did. He didn't attack, he just set a pace that sucked riders into believing they could hang on. By the time they realised they couldn't, they were so far into the red, they were finished. The experience left Jacques Anquetil with a recurring nightmare. In it, Gaul would race ahead on his bike. Anquetil would slowly close the gap. But once level with Gaul, he saw his rival was in fact made of a million raindrops. That image of Gaul would then disappear, only to reform up the road, ahead of Anquetil. And he had to chase all over again until he caught him. Then raindrop Gaul would disappear again, and so on, until Anquetil woke up. I think we'd probably call that owning the opposition now. And Charlie Gaul, the strange little man from Luxembourg, certainly owned part of Jacques Anquetil.
Hi. As well as our daily analysis, this is just typical of some of the content that premium subscribers get during Grand Tours. If you're one already, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. If not, please consider subscribing. You can subscribe monthly or take advantage of our early bird offer, which gives you all 12 months of our 2021 content for the price of 10 by visiting velocast.cc. Thanks for listening.